Hey there, it's Joel Radio. Welcome into the show. It's Joel Fragamenti with you.
Yo.
That's Corey Hall over there.
Hey, everybody.
Say hi to Corey, kids.
Hi, kids.
Hi, kids. You know what? I've never tried to be a children's entertainer.
Don't.
But how many show business ventures have those people failed at before they said, I'll do a kid show? I mean, is that...
Somewhere between...
yeah.
Three and all
a
of
few,
them.
A few, yeah.
All so, showbiz ventures.
So it wouldn't be the worst thing for me to...
My mom is like, you should write a children's book.
Well...
And I'm like, Mom, I hate children. why would I write a children's book?
Well, that's a good point. Anyway,
I'm iffy on adults.
On adults, you can give a
shit.
Why
would I write a kid's book?
Exactly. Anyway, it's Joel Radio. Welcome in. I am back from the Gathering of the Juggalos, where I was Upchuck the Clown for my... 12th annual appearance. Holy. 12 years of that.
Holy.
I know. It's too much.
I know.
Because people, you know, I was talking to people and I was doing interviews with people and they were like, how'd you get into this? And I go, you know, I took the gig for a decent paycheck and a good story. And 12 years later, there I am.
And you got one of those things.
I think I got a good story this year anyway, because I interviewed Gilbert Gottfried at the Gathering, which I know we had talked about, and I think I mentioned on the show I was going to try to get Gilbert, and I certainly did get Gilbert. So I'm very proud to say that I had a very funny interview with Gilbert, and you'll hear it in just 1 second. So.
Well, now this makes me think we should have tried to interview Gilbert when you and I both have done shows with him.
Yeah, it was...
probably could have almost...
Yeah,
done it.
But I think having a little bit of rapport with him from that helped me get the interview, because mm-hmm. he didn't do any other interviews. And when you do the Gathering, when you're at this thing, there's all these, like, hipster blog reporters and the Village Voice and all these people are there.
It was probably because he was there at the Gathering, the novelty of it made him go, okay, I'll do your podcast.
Well, whatever. Yeah. I think he just knew me because I had met him twice before.
Mm-hmm.
And since it wasn't on video or anything, I told him it'd be short, and I told him I was a fan of his podcast.
Which,
when you hear the interview, you're going to go, what kind of a fan of the podcast am I? But let me say that before we get into Gilbert, we talked about the Larry Storch interview, I think, the last time we were here. We were reviewing Gilbert's podcast, and I said, I don't think I can get through the Larry Storch interview. It was just too slow. On the way down to the Gathering, I listened to the Butch Patrick interview, and it was tremendous.
It's great.
It was so great, and I've really gotten into the podcast now. And not just because I always thought Gilbert, as you'll hear in the interview, I call him the funniest man in the world. I thought that having some of these old celebrities on held him back a little bit. But now when the celebrities are into it, it seems like it's a home run.
Well, it is a little spotty. You know, a lot of podcasts are based on... Not this show. This show, we suck no matter what.
Well,
we're bad
sometimes,
at whatever.
Sometimes the quality of the guest affects the show. And look, we've had guests in here that aren't that great. And there's a reason we don't have guests all that frequently is because sometimes the guests aren't great. So it's sometimes it's better you and I just handle the jokes and we'll go from there. So.
But, you know, Gilbert's show is really dependent on the guests.
Yes.
But sometimes they're terrific. I mean, he's only put out a half dozen or so.
Yeah.
There aren't that many episodes of it.
Right.
But he puts them out every Monday.
Yeah.
And some of the guests have been terrific. Dick Cavett was great.
Okay.
You really have to be into old Hollywood.
Yeah, which Gilbert is. And that's what you'll hear when I talk to him. A lot of the interviews about old Hollywood.
Now, I love old showbiz stories. Yeah. But Gilbert is like, he remembers character actors and westerns
does,
and stuff from
the
50s. He's really, he and his co-host on that show, Frank, are really like... They know it.
They know it all, yeah.
Now, he was on an episode of I Remember Mama.
He's a savant with old show business, sort of, Gilbert. So, anyway, so why don't I mean, do you want to just get right into the Gilbert interview right now? Should I just play
why
it?
Why make him wait?
Well,
could talk about...
A little bit of setup. Well, what we'll do is we'll play the interview, and then we'll let people listen to it, and then you and I will give our thoughts on it.
So, but, and then you can discuss Gilbert's performance.
Yeah, then we'll talk about Gilbert's show at the Gathering.
Do you have some audio from that?
Gilbert's show was the most amazing... I mean, literally, like, it was the most amazing... Because when you assume, like, Gilbert... You think of Gilbert and his show normally, a normal Gilbert show in a club, okay? And then you go, the Gathering of the Juggalos and how weird that is. Like, how are those two things going to possibly coexist? And It was every bit of amazing as you would think it would be. It was great. So anyway, let's listen to Gilbert. A couple quick things before you hear into this. You know, this was just recorded on the field recorder. I think I made it sound pretty good in post. I did some, I leveled it and did some things to it. Because we're in like, we're in an office trailer, which was Gilbert's dressing room. Although when we first had gotten in there, the power wasn't on. And so Gilbert was sort of like, where the fuck am I? And we're playing in a tent outdoors. Mm-hmm. Gilbert's scheduled on at 1 a.m. So right now it's probably, you know, 11:45 as I'm recording this interview with him. You can hear a little bit of bass seeping through the walls of the trailer from whatever was going on at the stage, which would have been like Tech Nine probably or something going on on the main stage. And we're in a circus tent with a stage, and the seating for the juggalos, for the audience members, are hay bales.
Right.
So that's a little bit of the setup of where
and,
we are.
Home Slice the Stabler just hit a 12-foot long bong. And,
well, no. We'll get to bongs when we talk about Gilbert's show. But right now, here's me with Gilbert Gottfried from The Gathering. Enjoy this, people.
All right.
All right, Gilbert, how's it going?
Well, I feel like I'm going to be facing my impending death here. This is basically like being booked for the Manson family.
Yeah, we're at The Gathering and the Juggalos. We're backstage in Gilbert's trailer, which only got power about 30 seconds ago, which is nice.
Yeah, I was here in the dark, and I found out there's no bathroom, and there's no heat. Other than that, everything's terrific. Other than that, I'm sure it's the same way J-Lo has it in her contract.
Well,
J-Lo has it in her rider that I want no lights, no heat, no food, and I want to pee behind the bushes outside and have raccoons chew on my ankles as I'm trying to take a crap.
Yes. This is for pre-show, so Gilbert has a very small list of complaints. Of course, you saw our seating arrangements here at The Gathering of the Juggalos.
Yes, there are tents outside.
Hay bales.
I gotta get a new agent. Desperately.
I was going to say, how many tsunami jokes does it take to get booked at The Gathering of the Juggalos?
I'll have to count them up, because... Had I known I'd wind up at a Juggalos concert, right. I never would have made those jokes.
So my advice, I'm at The Gathering of the Juggalos every year, and I'm supposed to have a comedy career, so my advice is, you know, no Malaysian air material. I think that might be a hot spot right now.
Gee, well, that kills my whole opening. Jeez.
One thing I wanted to ask you, because, you know, I do my podcast, Joel Radio. That's what everyone's listening to now. But we are fans, myself and Corey Hall, my partner, of the Super Colossal Podcast. Yes. Tell us about that.
Gilbert Gottfried's amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
Amazing Colossal Podcast.
What a fan I am.
Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast. You can hear it on GilbertGottfried.com and subscribe to iTunes or subscribe to SideshowNetwork.tv.
Right.
And, we've been interviewing... I interviewed Larry Storch
from Andrew,
who's 91, and not the oldest person I've interviewed there. I'm trying to get these people, you know, like... I like old showbiz.
Right, yeah, that's what it is. I was going to ask if the title Celebrities You Didn't Know Were Still Alive was already taken for the show. Is that...
Well, I was originally going to call it the Before It's Too Late show. But then I thought that's kind of difficult to get guests if you go out to them and say, I want you to be on my show because I think you're going to die in a week. You know, I don't think... And I had Marty Allen from Allen and Rossi. They were their comedy team followed the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. That must have been an easy.
I had a question. Speaking of comedy teams, because, you know, me and Corey are a comedy team, and you were talking on the Butch Patrick interview about the fake Jerry Lewis and his partner. Tell me about that team a little bit more, because that blew my mind that, you know, there's a... I guess he was so successful, there were knockoff Jerry Lewis, Martin Lewis acts.
There was a guy around the time of Martin and Lewis there was a guy named Sammy Petrillo, and who looked exactly like the young Jerry Lewis.
Italian
and,
Jerry Lewis.
Yes. And sounded exactly like him. Had all the mannerisms. It's like a freakish clone.
Okay.
He wasn't so much funny as freakish. Like, how are there two exact Jerry Lewis? And because Jerry Lewis was partners with Dean Martin at the time, he teamed up with Sammy teamed up with a guy named Duke Mitchell.
Okay.
Who was his handsome singer, who was neither all that handsome. And his singing's about as good as mine. They made a film together called Bela Lugosi Meets a Brooklyn Gorilla. And it starred the actual Bela Lugosi.
Okay.
Yeah.
At the end of Bela Lugosi, right? The end. Just before the Ed Wood stuff or around that same time?
Before Ed Wood.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ. Yeah, it was before, because that was like the last
thing.
He
died, the Ed Wood movie. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. So by Ed Wood, it was already a step up.
Right. So this where they meet the Brooklyn Gorilla, Bela Lugosi and Brooklyn Gorilla, what's the plot of that, and how do the Martin Lewis guys fit into the plot? Are they...
Well, you know, one of those typical old comedies where somehow they wind up on some tropical island, and there are dancing girls, and like all those movies, it'll be like tropical girls, but they'll have like a real lounge act prepared, and Lugosi is... God knows what, a witch doctor. And there's a guy in some really ratty zip-up gorilla.
Yeah, that sounds... Is that something I can see? Like, where would I see that now?
You'd see it in your nightmares. That's where you'd see it.
Yeah, that blew my mind. But was there any controversy at the time with those guys about, like... Well, you're a knockoff of them, because nowadays when some people come out and they rip, you know, comedians rip off other comedians, everyone gets all up in arms. But at the time, it wasn't a big deal.
I think Jerry Lewis Jerry Lewis originally hired Sammy Petrillo to be on the Colgate Comedy Hour as a sight gag, playing his son.
Oh, okay.
And then... I think their producer, Martin and Lewis' producer, Hal Davis, was originally going to stop them, legally stop them. But then when he saw how bad they were, he thought, it's really even worth a phone call.
It's so bad, it's almost an advertisement for the real thing.
Here's
these knockoffs, now go see, go see the real Martin and Lewis.
I've never seen Martin and Lewis, but they've got to be better than these two.
And, geez, what other questions? Because Corey had some questions. He said that, first of all, he said that I have to hear Alan Thicke. And, how Alan Thicke does an interview. Now, to me, Alan Thicke is the most colorless. He's as colorless as that wall behind you. Why?
Yeah,
why?
I used to be on the Alan Thicke show, his Thick of the Night. Uh-huh. That was going to be the show that would knock Carson off the air. And now Carson's not on the air, so it did work. And he wrote a lot of jingles. That's mm-hmm. what most of he wrote, like the Facts of Life theme.
Okay.
So that he made a fortune on. And he would sing the theme song to his own show, and he wrote that too.
Okay.
And it was like tonight. Everyone needs a dream to hold it. I'm gonna make it on my own. Running in the thick of the night, under the sea night.
Hard to believe that didn't take off. And here's Gilbert Gottfried. Is that how it works? He sang this song and brought you up to tell jokes, and it's not on anymore?
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
Surprise.
No 30 years on NBC for
I say it's politics. I think I think the country wasn't ready.
You were before your time. Nowadays, well, now we call that the Jimmy Fallon show, I think. Because Jimmy's singing every night. He has no monologue, right? He's doing the monologue as Neil Young now. Have you seen that? It's amazing.
Yeah.
He's a tremendous mimic. How long till show business turns on Jimmy Fallon? I have a theory that that's coming.
Oh, that could be. Show business like that.
Right. Says two guys in a trailer behind a circus tent. When is Jimmy Fallon being knocked off his perch? As we go to play to people, I'm putting on a clown suit and we're going to tell jokes to people on hailed pay bales in 10 minutes. But when are we knocking Fallon off?
I'm thinking of where I can safely pee without a bear attacking me. And when can we knock off Jimmy Fallon?
Oh, God. And then the other question that Corey has, and he's really intrigued by, you had some interaction with Scott Baio on the Hollywood Squares. And if you had some memories of Scott Baio, because he always seemed washed up to us. I mean, even when he was on television on a regular basis. But apparently did he have a big ego or something on the set? Was there something with Scott?
Anything with Scott Baio. I met him.
Oh, okay. But he was all right? You liked him?
I would like to live on his penis. For 5 minutes.
Yeah, that is the thing, yeah.
Yeah, there is not an actress or model that he has
that he didn't
bang.
Oh, wow. But what do you think his secret is? Is it confidence? What is
Well, it's not fame or money.
Right, certainly. Yeah,
it must be his great personality.
It must be, yes.
Yeah, I mean, Pam Anderson, Heather Locklear, Denise Richards, oh my God.
Yeah, he did the whole thing. And see, I know a little bit about Scott. I tried to book him here at the Gathering of the Juggalos, and he turned me down. So, Scott, we got you instead. I hope that's okay. But, well, Gilbert, I want to thank you for coming on Joel Radio. I really appreciate it. The show hasn't started yet. I mean, I guess there's a possibility of a follow-up if it's the worst thing of your life and you want to vent, feel free. I'll turn the recorder back on.
And my website's the Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast. No, that's my podcast. Yeah. My website's gilbertgottfried.com. You can hear it on there. And you could subscribe to it on iTunes and Sideshow Network and TV.
Right. Well, Gilbert, thank you so much. I like to refer to you as the funniest man in the world because I think that's true. And you certainly proved it. Thank you for coming on Joel Radio,
my friend. Thank you. You'd think I'd be working somewhere other than the joke.
One day, you and I, 11:35, I see it, NBC. We'll bring back Alan Thicke. He can sing. We'll come out. We'll do Martin and Lewis if you want. We'll chase a gorilla around. It's going to be a fantastic thing. Scott Baio can bang some chicks. We've got a whole show booked out right now. This is the first production meeting. Thanks, Gilbert.
Thank you.
All right, so there I am with Gilbert. That was pretty good, right?
Excellent.
I mean, you get an Alan Thicke impression. I mean,
you and I have I know this is going to sound the most name droppy junk in the world, but you and I both worked with Gilbert in the last year or so, and there's no greater joy. He's one of the I've gotten to work with some great comics.
Sure,
Gilbert's on near the top of the. You know what I mean? I've gotten to work with some great guys. Gilbert's near the top of the list of people I wanted to work with.
Yeah,
and when you get in the room with him, and you just hang out with Gilbert. He's super nice.
Yeah,
accessible.
Yeah, he's very low key.
He's very low key
because. When I did this interview, he was very low-key, and he kind of didn't want to do the interview. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't know. And I go, well, it's just a little field record. It's not a big deal. And then I turn it on, and he immediately lights into these complaints about the gathering in the Gilbert voice that you know.
Well, he's weirdly shy for a guy who has no limitations but when he goes on stage.
But from doing this interview, one thing I noticed is that Gilbert was shy. He wasn't complaining about anything. But when he turns it on, like, oh, I have to pee in the woods and all this stuff. And you just know it's all going on in his head. Even when he's being quiet, he's suppressing that. And then when he lets it go, he goes nuts. So,
I think when I worked with him, and I'm sure when you worked with him, once he realizes you get it and you're you can talk about the same stuff I just sat there and talked to him about Vincent Price and Hollywood Squares.
Yeah.
And it was the most fun.
Right.
It might have been the most fun I've had in comedy.
Yeah.
Sometimes you meet famous comics and they're dicks
or
whatever. But to sit there with Gilbert and just chew the fat about Elizabeth Montgomery on Bewitched and Dick York, is great fun, and to make him laugh, which you did.
Yeah, I got a couple. I got a couple zingers
is
in there.
Tremendous! It's just to hear that.
Yeah, when
you
I
hear that ridiculous.
I
laugh.
Had the line about the tsunami jokes, yeah. And then I made him laugh with the Jimmy Fallon stuff, and that was good.
That was great.
That was the other thing too. Is like he goes, "I'll do like a 4-minute interview," and I said, "Okay." We ended up doing 12 minutes. Then I turned the recorder off, and we just kept going in that same vein for another half hour. As I got because I was getting in my it was the biggest laugh, which I'm sorry wasn't I, and I wish I would have had tape of the rest of it. And believe me, a bigger douchebag would have surreptitiously, is that the word?
Surreptitiously
recorded me and Gilbert hanging out because it was so fun.
Yeah.
But we were sitting back there and just shooting the shit about show business and all this stuff. And, you know, I'm getting there and I'm trying to get painted up. And he was telling me, well, I got a gig tomorrow night in New Jersey, which is good because it's close to home in New York. And I was sitting there, you know, I'm literally getting like my wig and my clown horn out of my bag. And I go, well, I went to New York University. And he goes, I can see the education's paid off. And the two of us laughed for like 5 minutes. We were just cracking up. Oh, it was so funny, you know.
It's really the stuff that he laughs at is like the human failure.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Like,
decay.
Yeah.
When someone's drunk and falling apart,
yeah.
Gilbert takes delight.
Gilbert, he really, and that's the thing about him. You know, Gilbert is a guy like you and I would sit here, like the way his comedy works is like where you and I would rip somebody and we would go into verbiage about how stupid something is. Mm-hmm. Gilbert just laughs at it. Mm-hmm. And it really is almost, it's more like, it's almost a better way of, you know, it's like anti-establishment. He's so like laughing at you. It's great. What's
amazing about him is he's built this thing into a career where he's like an iconic kind of figure.
Right, yeah.
But on the other hand, people look at him and go, wait, that's the Aflac duck guy?
Yeah, right,
that's that's the guy that was on USA Up All Night?
Well,
he's got this mix of like schlock, but he's stuck around and done schlock for so long, he's like an icon.
Well, his comedy works on different levels. Yeah, I mean, you can say it's just a funny voice and a weird laugh, and it's him doing wacky impressions. And then at the same time, like when you talk to him about something and he's laughing at it, it's just like he's really like a satirist in what he laughs at. You know, he literally laughs at things. And that's what makes him brilliant. You know, Penn Jillette always says on his podcast on Penn Sunday School, which I'm a big fan of, he says, you know, the premise of the Aristocrats was that Gilbert Gottfried is to improv comedy what Miles Davis is to bebop jazz, meaning that he is a brilliant improviser. And to watch him improvise, like as he does the Aristocrats joke, which he did at the Gathering at the end, we'll get to that story, is just like watching a genius at work. To watch him on stage and to be making these things up, and a lot of Gilbert's stuff, you go like, well, it's old jokes or it's this and that, but then when it's not, it's just the most brilliant. And the way he tells an old joke is amazing because not everyone can tell a joke.
Well, This is the most kiss-assy we've ever been.
It's
out of a total respect.
But it's just
because all the shtick. Like I think there are a lot of people who just know Gilbert from his appearances on whatever game. And he does the boy.
Right, yeah.
But when you watch him on stage, he really does go off into like he did a whole bit when I worked with him about how midgets don't count as real people.
Okay.
And a whole bit about you know midgets hitting midgets off Gary Coleman's forehead. It was this crazy shit.
Yeah, you'll hear some clips
and
of the show.
And he went off.
Yeah.
To watch him work live in a club, he's like insane.
Yeah,
and so I'm super glad you got to tape this.
Yeah, it was great. And then you know the other thing is like you know there's a guy that used to run a club and he would take guys to morning radio, and he was telling me about how he would take Gilbert to these morning zoos, and Gilbert's thing. And I've seen him do this on interviews when Gilbert like hates the guy, but he never says like. This sucks interview's name. But what he would do is he would, you know, the DJ would make some bad joke and Gilbert would just start repeating the joke, the punchline over and over. And then eventually screaming it to where, you know, that's what the guy would say is that he would just bust these guys' chops by repeating whatever. Like there was a thing he did ICP Theater, which, and Violent J, you know, they were watching a video and Violent J something about like, hey, bitch, fry me a big fucking steak or something, you know, and it was kind of funny when Violent J said it. And then Gilbert just took that. And just started screaming, fry me a big fucking steak. Like, he just kept saying that over and over.
What was it? One of the roasts. It was, I think it might have been the Chevy Chase roast. One of the.
Yeah.
Ice T went up and did a bunch of like, "You white motherfuckers, and I'm gonna fuck all your white hoes," and he just went up and went, "I was going to do the fucking white hoes material," and he did that. He just repeated Ice T's bit.
That seems to be the way that he likes to poke. He likes to mimic.
But
in
he gets
his own
away.
Way.
He gets away with it.
Well, he's got that wacky voice, and people love that. But you know, I've learned in the times that we hung out with him, and when I open for him now, is that there is a different level. There is. I understand what Penn is saying about Gilbert now. Whereas before, I would have kind of like, I saw the Aristocrats. That's not what the Aristocrats is about.
Right.
But I get it now. I get it now in a way that I didn't. So anyway, so Gilbert goes up to do the show, I'm estimating between five and 700 fans in this tent. The hay bales only accommodate 200, so a lot of people are seating or they'll bring their own lawn chairs. So Gilbert comes out and he says, you know, before the show, he goes, "Well, I'm going to do," he says, "I'm not going to do the regular show." And I said, "Well, what's not the regular show?" And he says, "Well, I'm just going to do the Dirty Joke DVD." And I go, "Okay, that sounds like something to do. Okay, maybe you don't do the right, you know." So I understand what the difference is between those two things. Even though his show incorporates a lot of old jokes, there's also observational stuff that maybe he wouldn't do. So he comes out and he's doing old jokes. But the kids are just chanting Gilbert the whole time.
Well,
and it's a lot of, you know, heckling. And so it's a lot of, they want to hear, you know, voices from different things. So Gilbert's doing all that. Very early in the show, the kid at the front row had a 6-foot bong. And I'm like, and a guy told him before, I said, "Look, the kids are going to try to hand you pot. You don't have to do it." So, and you know, after about 30 seconds of the kid employing him, Gilbert goes over and does a giant comical bong hit.
Wow.
Now, at the time, I couldn't tell if Gilbert was really hitting the bong or if Gilbert was fake hitting the bong. Because Gilbert put his, you know, he was putting his body into it as a, I mean, a giant bong. And, I found out later if it was a real bong hit or a fake bong hit. But I'm not going to say. Other than to say Gilbert definitely was having fun with that. So eventually Gilbert gives up on the dirty jokes, and it just becomes people yelling stuff out, and they want impressions, they want him to hear. So somebody yells out Jay Leno, okay? And he goes, "Well, let me tell you." Well, I think he just starts setting up Jay Leno. And then the kids start chanting, "Fuck Jay Leno. Fuck Jay Leno." Because that's a lot of what the gathering is. It's a bunch of kids screaming, "Fuck this," and
really?
"Fuck that." I know. Shocking, right?
It's not a symposium on the arts
right.
and culture.
So it's a lot of "fuck this" and "fuck this." So Gilbert now, he's clearly entertained by the fans at this point.
Right.
So he goes, and before Jay Leno, there was this guy named Johnny Carson who says Tonight Show. So that becomes "fuck Johnny Carson." And you go, okay, kids maybe know who Johnny Carson is, even though these are younger people. And then he goes, and before Johnny Carson, there was a guy named Jack Parr that used to host The Tonight Show. So then it becomes, "fuck Jack Parr." So I'm rolling because I'm getting all this. And I kind of think he's half doing it for me anyway because I'm standing just, he can totally see me standing off stage. So I started rolling video because this was getting so good. So I think what you're going to hear is, I've got 2 minutes. I don't know how much you need to hear, but it eventually becomes Juggalos fucking the most obscure figures from the history of show business. So let's listen to little Gilbert. Here's a little Gilbert on stage here, a little taste for you.
Merv Griffin!
Fuck Merv! So there's "fuck Merv Griffin." You see Gilbert there.
Fuck David Susskind! Fuck David Susskind! Fuck David Susskind! Fuck
This was the one Facebook status I did for my whole weekend at the gathering, was I said, Gilbert got the 500 Juggalos chanting "fuck David Susskind" at the request of Gilbert Gottfried was the greatest moment for me in show
didn't
business.
David Susskind die in like 1980?
He died in like 86. Because I Wikipedia'd David Susskind when I got home. I go, I think I know who that was, but he was like, he interviewed Khrushchev. That was his big.
Yeah, he was a big interviewer in like the 60s and 70s.
Khrushchev. Right. So this goes.
David Susskind. Fuck.
You hear me chanting, leading the "fuck David Susskind."
Hey, please, let's not leave out Arsenio Hall.
Yeah.
No, I hear you.
You hear me, yeah.
Oh,
Joe Franklin.
Franklin. Fuck Joe Franklin. Fuck Joe Franklin. Fuck Joe Franklin. Fuck Joe Franklin.
I mean, this goes on for 15 minutes.
Chelsea Handler.
Right at me when he said,
"Fuck Jimmy Fallon! Fuck Jimmy Fallon! Fuck Jimmy!"
He's so amusing in this interview.
And Seth Meyers.
That's pretty. I mean, and that yeah. literally, and it was fuck Zsa Zsa Gabor and fuck. I mean, it just goes on and on. It was so great.
You know, we did just set this man up as a great stand-up comic. And then he...
Well, but that's, he understood the ridiculousness of this. The kids will say fuck anything. Well, a kid said, do Aflac, you know? And so he, you know, he didn't want, and a kid handed him, this is funny, a kid handed him this, which is the Aflac duck. And then everyone started, fuck Aflac, you know? And then he actually wiped his ass with this very Aflac duck. Gilbert
and
bent
somehow
over.
Somehow you got a hold of it.
And he left it on stage, and I brought it home as a memento. So this is an actual Aflac duck. Listen, it actually... Aflac. I think that's the... I don't think that's Gilbert doing it. I think that's a different... The other Aflac duck. Aflac. But yeah, so this is my memento of the show. The Aflac duck, which Gilbert wiped his ass with, had came home with me. So
that's ridiculous.
Anyway, so it was a great show. I mean, it was so weird. Yeah. And, you know, and then, you know, he said,
He was just doing that to entertain himself.
I mean, I think so. I mean, it was at least 10 minutes of the show was fuck, you know, yeah. this guy. And then, you know, he said he wanted the light.
And by the way, the Juggalos didn't pause for one second.
They would have said fuck anybody. That's what's great. And so, you know, at 30 minutes, he said he wanted the light, you know, so I gave him the light. He went into the Aristocrats. I tried to call you during Aristocrats. I don't know how much you could make out over the phone. Probably not very much.
I heard some of it, yeah.
So he went into, you know, he did a 10-minute version of the Aristocrats. Mm-hmm. And said goodnight, and to rapturous applause and shouting, and great. So it was an amazing, I mean, it was like, you know, I've seen Gilbert before, but he was clearly having, you know, I know to him it was a hell gig, and it probably still is, but it was just one of the weirdest comedy shows I've ever seen in my entire life. So what a treat.
I would imagine a lot of gigs are hell gigs for him. I don't
know.
You know what I mean? Where he's actually happy doing stuff.
Well, you know, the thing about Gilbert is it's always good to have Gilbert fans. You know, you don't want to have him in front of, an audience that's there for somebody's birthday party, you know, right. like at a comedy club. He needs to play to audiences that know him and love him, and the Juggalos love him. Because, again, he is an anti-establishment figure, just like the Juggalos are on that level. You know, Gilbert was fired by Aflac and stuff, and so they get that.
Right.
And I also heard a lot of, which you probably never hear in comedy circles when you talk about Gilbert's body of work, tons of, like, problem child. Everybody, all the Juggalos, big fans of him from Problem
Child.
Well,
that's the thing, though. That's where they know him from.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they knew the Aristocrats. They were really chanting for the Aristocrats a lot, too. So there was that. So it was Gilbert, I thought, had a great show, real fun. The other comics that we had out there, we had Mick Foley the first night.
No, good.
The former wrestler who does a show that's partially wrestling stories and partially other stories, but really funny show. Sherrod Small, who was on every VH1 comedy show, was there. Right. And Sherrod had a really good set, too. So it was fun. I got to hang out with Sherrod for a while.
Did you see they did I Love the
2000s? The 2000s now, yeah. So
we literally are doing like callbacks to stuff that happened 5 years
ago.
Well,
that's what Best Week Ever was. Best Week Ever was I Love the Week That Just Happened. You know, that show, when that came on. So, but Sherrod was really good. And then Joey Gay closed the weekend out, and I really didn't even have time to see Joey's show. But Joey's a really funny comic from Brooklyn who was on season 2 of Last Comic Standing, and he's done the Gathering with us like 3 times now, and it's always good having Joey Gay there. So it was a fun weekend. I had a good time. Didn't see any of the main shows.
Wonder
really,
if Mick would have done an interview.
You know what? He might have, but again, you know, I sort of like, my thing is like, I don't like
you don't want to be in everybody's
in a
business.
Working capacity. I don't want to be, and not to mention everyone wants interviews with these people. you know, when they come in and you know, like all these, because that's the thing about the gathering is all these hipster bloggers and reporters show up.
Yeah.
And they ask them questions and all the questions. And that's the thing I'm proud about the Gilbert interview. It wasn't just, what do you think of the gathering of the Jugglers?
No.
You know, Gilbert went off on it for a minute about, you know, the tents and all that stuff. But, you know, I'm just like, I wanted to know, you know, more about the stuff that he likes. And,
well, that's,
the, you know.
Okay, you know, having done lots of interviews, that's the key, is to try to, particularly with comics.
Yeah.
Engage them on something they're going to
want to talk about.
They're interested in.
Right. Because if you were interviewing me,
right,
you could ask me about, you know, being Upchuck the Clown, and it would be, you know, like I would have answers for that, and
right,
it would be okay, you know. But if you started saying, like, oh, let's talk to Joel about Bruce Springsteen or something,
well,
or the Beatles, talk to me about like, obscure Beatles stuff, I'd light up and go, like, oh, yeah, let me tell you about,
if you talk to William Shatner,
yeah,
he's going to know you're going to talk to him about Star Trek.
Exactly, yeah.
But if you go, what about Arabian horses?
Yeah, sure.
Or, you know, if you something about the person.
Yeah.
And certain, well, that Scott Baio thing was something I talked to, it come out of Gilbert talking
to me.
He
maybe didn't enjoy the Scott Baio stuff as much as the other stuff. But
no, but I was like, I should have phrased that better. Like,
well, I wanted to take your.
He basically said what he told me, which was that Scott Baio, he went off really about how Scott Baio used to go to Baywatch and pick up the extras.
Yeah,
that was his big thing, about, you know.
So anyway, listen to Gilbert's The Amazing Colossal Podcast. Did
now,
I get the name right? Listen to that with Gilbert. Maybe.
I will say, though, it is some of them are a little better than others.
Right, but you know.
The Dick Cavett show, I highly recommend.
Yeah.
Got to listen to that. Dick Cavett's got great stories about, even if you aren't really familiar with Dick Cavett, he's got a lot of great stories, but he was on a talk show against Carson. Some of the ones, the Marty Allen one, I will say, if you're going to skip one, it's that one. Marty is real old and out of it. Larry Storch is like 90 years old, but did jokes the whole time. And was pretty funny. And definitely the Butch Patrick episode.
Sure.
Who played Eddie Munster.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
Yeah, that was good. That was the one I listened to on the way, and that was good. So if you like the interview I did with Gilbert, that's kind of all that Sammy Petrillo stuff.
If you
that's like an hour of that.
If you like the old Universal Monster movies.
Right, yeah.
These are the things Gilbert loves.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Monsters.
So have you seen the Bela Lugosi versus the Brooklyn Gorilla movie?
I have seen Bela Lugosi. It's too bad.
It was a legitimate question when I asked him, where do you see it?
John,
he said in your nightmares.
John Tenney and I were into that years ago. So I wish John was here.
That must have been on a VHS tape or was
Now, I have to say, on a sad note, our local video store, our legendary video store, Thomas Video, which is one of the oldest known video stores in North America, one of the earliest, they claim to be, you know, the first, but who knows?
Sure.
They were definitely one of the first video rental stores in the country. They closed their doors this week. But that was the place you could go
find.
That's
where they would have that there, yeah.
Bela Lugosi meets a Brooklyn Gorilla,
yeah,
starring Sammy Petrillo and Duke Mitchell, who was the knockoff of Dean Martin.
Yeah.
And it's kind of amazing. You should really watch it just to see their Martin and Lewis.
You know, that could be on YouTube or something. I don't know.
Right.
I'd
and
have
then
to
there's
look at it.
Then there's gorillas.
Yeah.
And the whole thing.
So, yeah. So that was Gilbert. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I did. Hope you did.
Yeah.
Listen to his podcast, and who knows. I should do more celebrity interviews when I hang out with these people. But, you know.
Well, you and I both encounter various people.
We do.
And you don't want to, like, bug them.
Right.
Particularly if you're working with somebody.
Yeah.
But if maybe if you've worked with them in comedy, if you've worked with them a few times, they might know you.
Yeah. Like, you know, we had Tim Allen at the Comedy Castle the other day, and I got to meet Tim.
We don't know Tim.
I don't know Tim at all,
right.
But, you know, I was in a room with Tim. I was in there. I shook his hand. We talked.
But it is a different thing when
It's
a different thing when you work with a guy for a couple days.
Yeah, exactly.
More than once.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
then
sure.
They might go, whatever.
Right. So, you know, but it was, yeah, I enjoyed interviewing Gilbert. I hope you did, too. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to it.
That's great, man.
Yeah, it was good. So let's move on. What else is going on?
That is the biggest celebrity we've had on since Gary Tyson. I mean, that's really...
Since Ron Jeremy, who I knew from The Gathering,
right,
and
Ron
I called.
Jeremy.
And we had him on the
show.
It
is weird, though, because when you're in a professional capacity,
you
kind of want to just be cool and not bug the guy,
because
everybody else bugs them.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like,
right.
I just did a show with Brian Posehn like a week or so ago, and like you just want to hang out and be cool. And, yeah. and Brian's a super...
Yeah, I've worked with Brian. Yeah,
super
I've hung
chill,
out with him.
Relaxed guy. But like,
yeah, he did the gathering.
All these nerds run up to him after the show.
Yeah.
And he gets lost in a sea of like, hey, man, tell me about...
Well, that's the other thing. When you do some of these, like at the Comedy Castle, whenever they do meet and greets, I'm usually the guy that's there kind of handling the line and stuff. And I hear all the dumb questions some of these guys get asked, and you just go, oh, God, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to be that guy.
Remember when you were on Just Shoot Me?
Yeah, right. Well, Mick Foley's thing, because Mick Foley does, you know, his he does a Q&A, you know, sort of at the end of his show. I'll do a 20-minute Q&A. And he, during the show, he says, you know, the number one question I ask is, did it hurt when The Undertaker threw him through the cage? And he has a story about it in the show. He says, don't ask because I'm going to tell a story about it. And sure enough, when people raise their hands, that's the question. And then Mick has to make fun of him for like, he's like, hey, I'm going to tell you. Of course, you know, like he doesn't, he's sick of the story.
Didn't,
you know,
didn't teeth go through the top of his like
Right,
skull?
A tooth came out of his nose. Yeah. But he knows that's the number one question people are going to ask. Mm-hmm. He's sick of it. He tries to address it and say, of course it hurt.
Well, but
let's
you know
move
what?
On, and then people ask the question anyway. So
you know what? That's show business.
Yeah, me. It is show business.
I remember when I used to when I worked at Borders, the late great Borders in Birmingham, Michigan. The there's kind of a high end hotel where a lot of in touring acts would stay in town, and so like people, you know, they'd come over from the hotel and just browse the bookstore.
Right.
And Steve Tyler from Aerosmith came in one day.
Okay.
And he was not trying to hide the fact that it was Steven Tyler. Sure. You know, he wasn't wearing a hoodie and like shit. No, he came in wearing a pink shirt and paisley jeans. You know what I mean? And I went,
it's hard to hide your Steven Tyler.
But he wasn't doing any like.
You're gonna if he tries to hide it, he's gonna look like somebody's grandmother. He needs to really he needs to play it up.
But I had one of my coworkers freaking out, like, should I go say hi? And
right,
I went,
right.
I went, you went to the concert. That's his job.
Yeah.
His job is being Steven Tyler.
Yeah.
You know, you're the job for it. And so he's not going to be, he's not hiding. He's not with his family. He's walking around a bookstore.
Sure,
on tour.
Yeah.
So go say hi.
It's, I mean, you know, saying hi is one thing. It's.
But nudging and bothering
there
people.
There are people who do not give celebrity space at all. And I just go, you know, like, cause even like some, when Gilbert was doing, you know, when people were shouting out people's names and starting the fuck chants, there were guys that I was like, hey, can you just, okay, he heard it. You know, he's not doing it. Or they would call out an impression they wanted to hear.
Or Gilbert's trying to pee, and then somebody...
No one bothered him while he was trying to pee, although he did have to pee outside, which I feel bad about.
It is weird, though, when you become kind of protective of the celebrity if you're around working the thing.
Sure,
and you've got to have to take care of him.
Well, you know, you want him to have a good time. You want him to, you know, not be
bothered. How was Joey Gay? Was that good?
I hung out with Joey Gay, but I didn't get to see his show because I was doing the ring announcing for the wrestling show. At the same time that Joey Gay was on. So I didn't get to see Joey Gay. But Joey Gay's a funny guy. We should have Joey on the show one day. Yeah. If he's in town, I could call him. I got his number. But, you know, we'll have Joey in the studio hopefully one day because he's a funny dude.
Let's have some more famous people on
We should
show.
Have
All
more
right.
famous people in. Or one of us should become famous.
Let's stop.
Those are the options.
Let's stop keeping it a secret.
Well, hopefully Gilbert will give us a retweet when I plug Gilbert on Twitter. At Joel Radio.
There you go.
We'll plug at Real
Gilbert. I really do encourage you. You know what's really bizarre?
Yeah.
Remember, 8 years ago we sat around in the same studio.
Yes.
And we were listening to Dawn and Drew.
Yeah.
And Yaz and Bib. Or Bib and Yaz
Bib
or whatever
Yaz.
It was.
Yeah.
And the only other people doing podcasts were like total amateurs or Adam Curry.
Sure.
That was the one celebrity.
Right.
Now you and I are sitting here. I've got a bunch of podcasts on my phone. I listen to podcasts all the time.
Yeah, podcasting has become...
It's ubiquitous.
Every
it's
celebrity, yeah.
And now
on.
The circle has been completed. is that famous people are coming on our show.
Well, that's good.
We're like the Joe Franklin.
We're the Merv Griffin and Joe Franklin.
Yeah, I know. Joe Franklin, that was a weird interview.
Yeah,
that was
on
the Gilbert Show.
Now, I remember the Joe Franklin Show because we had WOR on cable as a kid. And there was like a joke, but it was like 2 a.m. It was like no joke.
Well, Joe
middle
Franklin
of the night.
Was this kind of camp kitschy thing.
Yeah.
Where he was this old clueless buzzard that was doing a talk show.
Yeah.
But he'd get all these people that would come on.
Yeah. He became an institution.
Pretty much everybody in New York would come on and do
right.
Joe Franklin.
Yeah.
And it was just weird seeing these big celebrities on this
That's
weird
what's happened to
big
us.
Show.
We have become an institution.
That's true.
Whether we become famous, sometimes you just become famous for sticking around long enough.
Right.
And that's what this show, which will be 10 years old in March of next year of 2015.
Man. We should be institutionalized. We'll be 10 years. Institution. No, it's anyway. Right. But Joe Franklin is a weird...
Yeah.
That's a guy, he's a little clueless there, but...
Well, he's a local, you know, he's a talk show guy that... is not particularly funny, like in what he says,
and
but the way he says
find
it is
that
funny.
Out when you listen, to the Gilbert's Amazing.
But he's weird. Well, he does a thing in the Aristocrats about Sarah Silverman and Joe Franklin raped me. Do you remember that story? And it was pretty funny, and it was funny because Sarah Silverman made it funny. But it's still like here's weird Joe Franklin. And then Sarah Silverman tells the story about him.
Joe Franklin looks like he should be the manager of a carpet rental store.
He does.
You know what I mean?
He does, yeah.
It's like, oh, it's Uncle Morty. Here he comes.
Well, you know what? Our local equivalent might be like a Sonny Elliott. Is that fair to say Joe Franklin, Sonny Elliott?
Sonny was funny.
Well, Sonny was funnier than Joe Franklin.
Sonny Elliott was a guy
who passed
was a
away
local
recently,
weather.
Sonny
was like
Elliott,
a Detroit mainstay weatherman. And... You know, in the old days, you could get on radio and TV and never leave.
Yeah.
And, like, literally, he came back from the war, got on radio, got a TV gig, never left, and did the weather in Detroit for 50 years. And he would do a lot of little...
Well...
The temperature in our town is 42
degrees. Well, his shtick that a lot... And I've heard comedians who will do Sonny Elliott on stage, not, you know... They wrote these jokes in the 80s, but, you know, Sonny's thing was he would take... There was a chalkboard for the weather. There wasn't like a map where it's a green screen now. There was a chalkboard, and Sonny would write on the chalkboard. So he would say, it's going to be rainy and sunny, so it'll be runny. He would combine the weather thing.
It's very
that was
old,
his shtick, yeah.
It's
you know.
Old, shticky, old jokes.
But it would be jokes.
And it's 32 degrees, which is colder than an Eskimo's engagement party.
Yeah, so
you know, whatever.
Yeah, and he would draw smiley faces on the clouds would have faces on them and the sun. So he would draw a sun with a big
but
smile on it.
But everybody in his town loved him.
Yeah, he was an institution.
He was absolutely beloved. Yeah. I think that's the same thing with Joe Franklin.
Right, yeah.
He was doing this cornball act, but people loved him. And anyway, if you like old show business, you're interested in that, can't recommend Gilbert's podcast.
Yeah, it's enough of a Gilbert. We got a couple other subjects here. Do you want to go into movie reviews, or do you want to go
before
into...
one more podcast?
Okay,
not that
podcast.
He needs one more plug.
Oh my goodness!
But WTF?
Oh.
The Mike Myers episode.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
Very
one.
Interesting.
Okay.
Lately, Marin's been a little erratic.
Sure.
Some of them are great.
Yeah.
And then he does a lot of musicians that aren't as interesting.
Marin's doing two hour-long interviews a week with celebrities. That's tough.
But when he nails one, they're great.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And the Mike Myers is a very interesting interview just for backstage SNL stuff.
Was he plugging anything,
Mike
Myers?
He's plugging his movie.
Oh, about his agent or
his
whatever.
His movie, Supermensch.
Yeah. I've seen that guy on shows.
Yeah. Oh,
he's been on Seth Meyers.
He
and
talks
stuff.
Like this, Shep Gordon.
You've seen the movie, though.
I saw the movie. It's very... It's what they did is they filleted me. Well, Shep Gordon was the manager for Alice Cooper.
Okay.
But then he also managed Teddy Pendergrass.
Yeah.
And Anne Murray.
Yeah.
Like, he had this weird stable of clients.
Sure.
But he's been Alice Cooper's manager for his whole career.
Okay.
And the stuff about how he built Alice's career and made all the controversy that made him famous.
Okay.
Really interesting.
All right.
Then when they get into why he didn't get a wife and stuff, it's not. But but Mike Myers himself, you get a nice glimpse into the guy who's had this much spotlight on him. And it's Mark lets him tell his own story a little bit.
Because he comes off to me as sort of a weird guy. There was a Vanity Fair piece about Mike Myers a few years ago about how hard he was to deal with. And, you know, he was kind of a dick. I mean, that was the point of the Vanity Fair piece. And you know, when you see Mike Myers stuff, you sort of go like, yeah, I don't know who that guy is. You know what I mean? He's one of those guys you don't really get a feel for Mike Myers when he's not in character. You don't get a feel for the real guy.
Take a listen to that show, and you'll get a different look at him.
Well,
I feel like what we've always tried to do, other than we're just doing flat-out dick jokes, and there'll be plenty of those to come. Calm down out there in Newfoundland.
Everybody?
Newfoundland and all the ships at sea.
Okay.
What I feel like you and I have done on a local level, just in a local comedy market, tried to expose people to the process, expose people to the behind the scenes, and that's what I find all these podcasts that I love are doing.
Well, that's true. Yeah, we will tell you if you want to know about open mics in Detroit.
Right.
This has been the show of record for 10 years on that.
Right.
Or whatever events we've done. I mean, we've told you about all the shows we've done from me doing the Palace and you doing your television spots and me being in movies and all that stuff. We've told
there
you
was
about
a
that.
Cake today at the TV studio.
A cake?
And let me tell you, you've never seen.
Oh, for the guy who was leaving.
Right. One of the lead anchors who's been doing the morning show for 18 years, retired.
Sure.
And they had a big cake. You've never seen grown professionals, you know what I'm saying, adult people, act more a fool than when there's a cake in the newsroom.
It is weird when you have strangers and a cake in a room together.
Right. And then I came in with you know other comics today, and we're eating cake.
Yeah,
I didn't have any, but like other guys got cake, and I'm going, this man's been doing this. This is his job for 18 years, and you're eating his cake.
Well, it
was a weird thing, but everybody was.
But it becomes weird about who gets cake and is there enough cake to go around.
It was a big cake, and the interns were eating cake, and it was just like, it is funny how you think people are going to act in a professional way or act in a certain way.
Sure.
Nope, you wheel a cake into the newsroom, and suddenly everybody acts like
all the rules.
It's a fourth grader's birthday
party. But then it becomes who gets the cake first? Do the I think in a situation like that, would the famous people get the cake before the?
But there was sort of a. And then you always, if you're
there's cake politics,
and if you're like a guest, you feel like, oh, should I have this cake?
Uh huh. Yeah. Do you know this man well enough? I mean, I know you've said hi to this man, Alan Lee.
I've talked to him quite a bit.
But do you know him well enough to eat his cake? Do you have to know him well enough to eat the cake?
No.
Can you just eat the cake?
That didn't stop a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, you know, the UPS driver came in and got a slice of cake.
All right, well, good for
him. I'm just saying, it was a lot of, it is funny when, like, you just see these highly skilled, professional media operators who go, oh, is there cookies and cake over there?
It's hard to be a smooth on-air anchor
and you'll see
when
that,
you have a piece of cake on a little tiny paper plate
in your
hand.
You'll see that at anything.
Right.
if you go to a movie shoot.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
You know when the honey wagon rolls around the craft service.
Yeah,
all that shit. You just know how people go, oh.
Right. I ate lunch with Rosario Dawson, and it was a woman eating lunch. There was no veneer of show
business. It is funny how you think show business is one thing from the outside.
Yeah.
And then even you and I are on the peripheral of show business.
Yes.
We get enough of a glimpse behind
it
to see, oh.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it is.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and so I love podcasts that do that.
Yeah.
The podcast, the stuff I like, I love reading behind the scenes stuff. Uh-huh. I love reading about, you know, that I'm never... interested in that.
Yeah, so. It never gets old.
It gets old when you're doing comedy.
Well, but there is a fascinating, and that's why people like Marin so much is like they love inside comedy stories because I think people have people fetishize comedy and think that it's something that it's not. And there's stuff like the Aristocrats, like we talked about, which, you know, I mean, you know, people. Let me get back to my point in a second. But people think there are people in Penn's talking about this that think the Aristocrats is fake.
Oh, yeah.
Because you and I, and I'll tell you this, I never heard the Aristocrats joke before I saw the Aristocrats movie. I mean, I saw Gilbert do it at that roast, but it wasn't like, you know, there was, you know, the backstage tradition of people, comics sitting around and telling each other
jokes.
You're
saying...
It's not real. I mean, do comics sit around and tell each other jokes all day? Not exactly.
No.
I mean, there are guys... I mean, look, I have good times. I mean, you and I hang out, and that was the genesis of this show, was like... Oh, it's funny when we hang out because we talk about weird stuff. And that was sort of the genesis for this show. But is it always a laugh riot to hang out with?
No,
that's what I mean.
No, it's not.
You hear me talking to Gilbert, but there was a mic. Like I said, before I turned the microphone on, me and Gilbert's talking was not, you know, eventually when I turned the mic off, it continued in that way because we got a rapport together. But, you know, it's not what people think it is.
It's a weird. Look, I'm pretty sure there are no adults in every profession is weird on some level.
Right.
But there is a weird. Show business warps people.
It does, yeah.
In weird, weird ways.
It does. All right, let's get into some movie reviews. Or do you want to talk about Jesse Ventura really quick?
Speaking of warped show business people.
should I tell that? Do I know more about the Jesse story than you do, or who's going to lay it out?
I don't know. I think we're both sort of versed on it.
Sure, okay.
Jesse Ventura, there was a guy who wrote a sniper who wrote a book called American Sniper.
I believe it
Chris
was.
Kelly was a Navy SEAL.
Kyle, right?
Chris Kyle.
Yeah.
Sorry. Chris Kyle was a Navy SEAL, wrote a best-selling book called American Sniper, which has now been optioned for a movie starring Bradley Cooper. And unfortunately, he passed away. But...
And he was killed by, like, a jealous ex-boyfriend or of his wife or something. Yeah. Very tragic story.
In the book, he made a passage where he said he got into a bar fight with a guy, with a famous person who was trashing the military and the government. And that he knocked out a guy in a bar.
Yeah.
And did not name the guy in the book.
No.
Or clearly lay it out. I mean, he left.
He hinted at who he was, but he also later on the publicity tour did mention by name who that it was Jesse Ventura.
So anyway, so then Jesse files a anti-defamation law or a defamation lawsuit, and goes after Chris Kyle for like $10 million. Subsequently, he dies.
Yeah,
and Jesse continues the lawsuit against the widow. Of Chris Kyle. So that is really, and then this week, the court ruled in favor of Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, the jury came back and found that Jesse, now, the real crux of the case, according to in one of the articles that I read, it wasn't so much that, you know, there were 11 witnesses that say that there was a fight and that Jesse was on the losing end of the fight, okay? But I guess the crux of the case and why Jesse won ultimately was that there was a statement that was attributed to Jesse by some of the witnesses that said, you know, the idea was Kyle brought over an injured Marine or an injured Navy guy, SEAL, and said, hey, this guy was injured. Would you say hi to him for a minute? And Jesse said, well, the U.S. deserves to lose a few, meaning essentially, you know, I hate America and I'm against this war. And so if people get hurt, fuck them. You know, that I'm reading, you know, but that's sort of the statement they're reading into. And I guess there wasn't enough proof, according to the jury, that that statement is something that Jesse said. And Jesse said having that quote attributed to him cost him television deals and cost him, you know, opportunities to make money, and that's why he was suing. Now, I'll tell you why Jesse lost. He had a show called Conspiracy Theory. I think it was on True TV for a while. And I'll tell you why Jesse lost that TV gig, because it was a fucking terrible television show. And I'll tell you why Jesse doesn't have a mainstream gig now. He was on MSNBC. He had a show for a while. Because Jesse Ventura is a professional wrestler that's full of shit. And I don't think that's libelous for me to say that on a podcast, that Jesse's a moron. I think I can say he's a moron. Look, Jesse Ventura is a guy who in wrestling was known as a good talker. He could get on the mic. He could sell tickets.
Yeah.
He was good on color commentary when he did that. He's not a bright guy, in my opinion. I don't think he's a bright guy. I know people in wrestling who know Jesse and worked with Jesse. I don't believe in wrestling, and I'm generalizing here. I don't want to be specific about anybody, but I don't believe in, even in the world of professional wrestling, that people consider Jesse a bright guy even in that world. He's a guy that's basically a bullshit artist. He's a con artist. He got elected to some little town in Minnesota, a suburb of Minneapolis. He eventually ran for governor, which he won in sort of a weird thing where there were like five guys running. Like, you could do that in Minnesota. You could have a bunch of independents. And so he won the governorship with a very small percentage of the total vote.
Basically the Ross Perot situation.
Yeah, he got like 20%. He got like 20-something percent of the vote, but it was enough to win because it was split so many ways. And, you know, and people thought he was... And listen, I rooted for Jesse when he was elected governor because I thought it was a cool thing. But Jesse's just become a weird, paranoid, angry guy over the years. And he's not particularly bright. I don't agree with his views on anything. It's some, you know, how guys get, you know, as they get older, they get more conservative. But then the conservatism starts to mix with, like, weird left-wing conspiracies. And the whole, you know what I mean? It's just a whole, his politics are a mess of the worst parts of the right and the left combined.
It is kind of a libertarian mishmash.
It is, yeah.
I don't know exactly what.
And you just go, what's with this guy? And I go, well, he's a fucking wrestler. I mean, why Jesse Ventura for governor and not, you know, the Iron Sheik for Congress? Why not Abdullah the Butcher for city councilman? I mean, where do you stop? The guy's a dumb... the guy can talk. He's a crazy man with crazy opinions. I feel really, really horrible for this widow who's got to cough up. I think it was $1.8 million that he ultimately won in this settlement. And I feel bad because Jesse's a guy who Jesse not being in show business is Jesse's own fault. People have figured out exactly what he is. People see what a bullshit artist he is now.
Well, there's,
and he's been exposed for that.
There's not a lot of room for a 60-year-old action star. He could have been in the Expendables.
Could have been. May still be one day. They, and believe me, there's no end to those fucking Expendables.
If you want to see... Okay, now, if you have Hulu Plus, and you can stream on Hulu Plus...
Yeah.
Go look for... Riff Trax did Abraxas.
Okay.
Which is a sci-fi movie starring Jesse Ventura.
Oh, okay.
If you want to see one of the worst performances in acting... you know, now, I thought... Okay.
What was his last starring role? Like, when was that movie made?
That was in, like, the early 90s.
Because Jesse did, I believe he did you Predator or Running Man first? I think he did Predator first, and then he did Running
Man. He's in both of them.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to mark out a little bit.
Okay.
I loved Jesse Ventura as a wrestling character.
Sure.
When he was the body.
Sure.
Even when he was still wrestling, and he got like a bad back or something.
Jesse has a disease where his blood does not clot.
Okay.
And so he can't, if he were to...
So even when we were kids...
If he were to bleed, he could die, so he can't wrestle.
When we were kids, he wasn't wrestling all that much, but he was still kind of in the ring. Mm-hmm. Then he became an announcer. One of the best ring announcer, like, color commentary guys.
Yeah, funny color commentary guys.
Because he was a heel.
Right. He's about to say he's great at that. He was a funny, yeah, he was
now,
very talented on the mic.
You and I are funny.
Yeah.
Does that mean that we should go be astronauts?
Well, yeah.
Right. I mean, there's a difference. What? Now, Al Franken turned out to be a guy that was good. He got elected in the Senate.
Yeah, he's in the Senate.
There's certain guys that do that, and sure. I think comics are some of the smartest people in the world.
Sure.
Jesse's not that. I think he's an entertaining guy. You're right. I don't have as low opinion of him as you do.
Well,
but I will say, continuing the lawsuit against the widow of the guy, when... All that did was publicize that you got your ass kicked.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a feeling
that
the book came out, people would have went, that's a funny anecdote, and moved on.
Right.
But what he did is he took her to court, he took the, while Chris Scott was still alive, and took him to court, and then continued suing the widow to clear his name. But in doing that, there's a certain thing called, you know, people go, there's no such thing as bad PR.
Yeah.
This is bad
PR. It is, yeah, but...
There, you can let something linger in the mind.
I believe Jesse needs money.
Right.
I believe Jesse, when he was riding high after being the governor and all that stuff, and he had his MSNBC show, and then he had the conspiracy theory show.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was probably a highly paid guy, you know, to be a talking head on shows and all
that
stuff.
Right, right, right.
And I think he lost all that because he had these wacky things. When America went back to war, Jesse, you know, was vocal against it, which isn't what people wanted to hear at the time. And even if you say, well, it's good to be against the war, the way Jesse's against the war is not the way you and I are against the war.
You're right. The problem is that when the tide did turn to people being against war, Jesse was very conspiratorial-minded in the CIA.
He's
majestic.
He's a paranoid nut job whose time has passed, and he's doing this really just to make a buck, and it's sickening.
Well, he's turned it into a persona.
Well, and that's fine.
I would love to get John's... Next time Tenney's on, we'll fire up the Ventura cannon.
You think he has opinions on Jesse Ventura?
I'm sure he
does. But you know what I mean? And then, look, there's people that are fans of Jesse Ventura, just like they're fans of all of these other... Who's the big conspiracy guy? Jones?
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones, all these guys. I mean, they all have their fans. They all have... You know, you will find like-minded paranoid assholes. If you're a paranoid asshole, there are like-minded paranoid assholes who are going to follow you and enjoy what you do.
Here's the extent to which Jesse, I think, was wrong in this lawsuit.
Yeah.
In just a moral and practical PR perspective. I watched a 7-minute segment with Glenn Beck denouncing Jesse Ventura.
Yes.
And I found very little to quibble with.
Right, yeah.
I really found...
Even you agree with
Glenn Beck. I sat there and I watched Glenn Beck and I went...
Well, that's what a nut
Glenn Beck's laying out the good case here.
That's what a nut he is. And you know what? And you know what? Even if you're a paranoid asshole and you have, you know, 100,000 paranoid assholes who follow you, you're all still paranoid assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Having that many people with you doesn't make you right. And so Jesse's not right and Alex Jones isn't right. These guys are just morons. To me, I think Jesse needs money. I think Jesse's probably probably spent more than he has made in the last few years. Apparently, he moved to Mexico. He's got
a big spread
down there.
Well, he was going to run for president. That was
he
kept coming on Howard Stern show and talking about
how
he's going to
run for president. Yeah, I think those days are over.
Well, how many guys are running for president? It's like enough already. This Rick
Hillary Clinton, that dude. I mean,
when
is he going to stop running? Well, yes.
Elizabeth Warren keeps going, I'm not running for president. Yet I can't go five fucking minutes without something about Elizabeth Warren in the media on my Facebook feed, and I'm like, good, go ahead and run. What makes me nuts in all forms of life, when you're denying what you're doing.
Yeah.
Don't just be honest. Tell us if you're running for president.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us that you need the money.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard
Palin.
I've heard Donald Trump doesn't really have a lot of cash, and that's why he does all the stuff he does is to raise money.
Are you going to be a subscriber to Sarah Palin TV?
Oh, good God.
I would just like to know that, right? I think our listeners would like to know. If you're willing to spend $99 a year for the privilege of watching some Sarah Palin streaming video, Corey.
I'm not willing to pay 99 cents once.
$99 a year.
No, I would never spend 99 cents.
I would spend $99 a year to watch Sarah Palin if she was doing her live streaming video in various lingerie, maybe some high heels, maybe a little teddy.
Right. What about Lisa Ann, who played her in the porn parodies?
Yes. I would like her to come on.
I would watch the Sarah Palin, Lisa Ann double dildo hour.
Right.
And maybe throw Meghan McCain in on the-
I would like to see Julianne Moore, who played her in a movie.
Yeah, okay, good.
To come on and get naked with the real... No, absolutely. Of course not. But these people claim I am running for president because it keeps them high profile. Mm-hmm. Sarah Palin ain't running for shit. Sarah Palin was elected the governor of Alaska. She gave that job up because it paid more to go do interviews on Fox.
Right.
So there you go. Well, all of these people, from Jesse to her...
And then people go, all you do is bash Republicans. But there's grades of them.
Yeah,
There's grades of Republicans.
All these guys, Newt, all these guys, they're all out to make money. Nobody's running for anything.
Right.
Nobody's running for shit.
Like Rick Perry is out there now he's got glasses.
Rick Perry.
Like he's like
makes him look intelligent.
Yeah, what is he, Mr. Peabody? You know, he's got glasses on. He's like a real genius now.
Rick Perry. I mean, you know what?
And the guy was a dope.
Okay.
Herman Cain has not popped up again. But
the guy who
will.
Made what was his what pizza chain was Herman Cain from?
Godfather's Pizza.
Godfather's Pizza. Great.
Far and away the most cardboard tasting garbage dump pizza anyone could eat.
The guy from CeCe's Pizza should run for president over Herman Cain.
Yeah,
I gotta take. You know what? Now that I've got this field recorder, I think we go to CeCe's Pizza. I'm willing to go today if you want. I want to go take you to CeCe's Pizza and give you, and you can sample because, you know, all the pies are laid out.
Why do I want to eat bad
because pizza? It's for the show. I'll pay for your CeCe's Pizza. I think it's $7.99 a person.
Is it really that bad?
It's like $7.99. You have to buy a soda,
you know,
too.
And
then it's, yeah.
You know, I, as I age, I'm having some, okay, so.
And they have desserts. They have a cinnamon pizza.
Now,
that's for dessert.
Now, Sharknado 2 was on last
night. Exactly.
And I am obviously a connoisseur of bad films and bad TV shows and media. And I loved that stuff for most of my life. And I'm getting to the point now where I'm kind of like, I don't need any more bad stuff.
Life's too short for bad. There's not enough time to watch all
and
the good stuff.
The first thing that I decided I didn't need any more bad of was food.
Oh.
Although, I mean, I almost did buy the Lay's cappuccino flavored chips.
Says the guy who brought in birthday cake Oreos to the show.
I know, and I love that stuff, but I'm starting to like, when you say Happy's Pizza tastes like...
And the CeCe's Pizza. Happy's Pizza is kind of delicious, but CeCe's.
Well, Happy's is another...
Happy's is another
takeout
chain.
What's your line about
Happy's
Pizza? Go ahead and tell them your line.
If there's a Happy's Pizza in your neighborhood, it's not a good neighborhood. Was
it's
that
time to move.
It's time to move. Yeah, I think I told that on stage once.
Your neighborhood is not that happy.
You know what? That used to be the case. There's now Happy's. There's one in Clawson, which I've been to because my ex lives around the corner.
It's kind of it's a low rent.
The pizza was fine. It was fine. It was as good as any of these takeout joints.
The one time... I went to ICP. I went to Violet J's house. He bought about $500.
Did we have Happy's Pizza that night?
Yeah, it was a load of pizza.
I had salmonella that week, didn't I? And I couldn't eat the pizza.
You couldn't eat anything.
Oh, I could barely. I almost. I swear I could have shit on Violent J's couch while we were watching that movie. I was very, but you know,
that
was
great.
I was,
people were pounding chicken wings.
Oh my!
And
I had salmonella, and everyone's eating chicken wings. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and there's all, you know, and all of Psychopathic was there, and I was like, I got salmonella. Mm-hmm. I can barely eat. I'm sitting next to. I was sitting between Mikey Clark, the producer, and Brian McCollum from the Free Press, holding in my shits, trying not to make. Sitting in Violent J's. I shouldn't tell that story on the. But remember, I also had diarrhea in Violent J's dressing room. I remember when I shit my pants after eating Five Guys, and I had to go into Violent J's dressing room.
How do they still employ you?
You know what? I guess they don't listen to Joel Radio. But
oh, God.
That's a story I told. You have to. I can't remember the episode, but that was a funny story. Five Guys goes through me, and I've learned that after eating it about four times in my life.
I have learned.
Five Guys is not for me.
At this late date in my life, I have learned if I'm going to be somewhere like that, or a business meeting or something, I do not eat anything.
Don't experiment with food. Yeah.
I've learned that lesson.
Well, that's what I learned now at the gathering. It's like I just let people, like there was catering backstage and it was a bunch of shit. I didn't know what it, you know, it was Barbie, pulled pork and stuff. And I'm like, I'm not eating this. I'm going to go.
Well,
I'm going to go back into town and go to Pizza Hut and get something I know that
I have
my body can tolerate.
A far higher, far hardier constitution than you. I can eat a lot more variety of stuff and hot peppers and all kinds of stuff. But I do have, I know how my body works.
Yeah.
And I know that if I eat some stuff like pizza, I know the timer.
Sure.
There's a clicker that goes off and I go, I know.
How long do you have after
eating? I've got an hour.
Sure.
We had Indian food. I've got.
You got an hour to get
45 minutes till we got to hit the Thunder Bucket. Like, I just know how it's going to work.
It is, but I'm telling you.
So now if I have to be somewhere, I don't do it.
But the Five Guys, Corey. The Five Guys.
You act like you're shocked in a hamburger.
No. The Five Guys literally is about. It's about 20 minutes. And I was in a Walgreens. And without any warning, it was amazing. Anyway, let's move on. Movie reviews, because now I'm throwing the show. All the Gilbert fans are listening to this, and I'm talking about how I shit my pants in a Walgreens.
Well,
it's not,
of course. It's not.
It's not.
Who hasn't? Remember the time when Joe Franklin.
Yes.
Wait. Joe Franklin's 87. He
probably shits
himself in a Walgreens.
Sammy Petrillo shit himself in Jerry Lewis's dressing room.
Joe Franklin's 87. He probably shits himself in a Walgreens every day.
Let's go on to
Larry Storch. I just did it.
All right, so you want to go? Guardians of the Galaxy is the big movie this week. Corey, tell us about that.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Yet another Marvel movie. This is the 1800th Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, this is what, the third this year? Was Thor last year, I think?
Well, we had Captain America this year.
Yeah, Thor 2 was probably Christmas time.
Thor might have been in January or something. I don't know.
I think it was Christmas time.
So
anyway, three within the last less than 10 months.
And then last summer, what was Marvel?
There's
Iron Man 3.
Yeah, Iron Man 3.
So
there's a Marvel movie.
A little over a year, about every quarter, you're getting a Marvel movie.
Every 8 months, there's a Marvel movie. Anyway, so this is also based on a series that even hardcore fans. No, there is no hardcore fan I'm aware of that goes, Guardians of the Galaxy is the best thing I've ever read. It's a series that people like.
Yeah.
It's a series that was popular, but it's not like I see anybody going and getting a tattoo of Rocket Raccoon.
Right.
So it's...
at least before the movie.
I think this is what's going to be different.
Yeah.
After the movie, I could see people getting the tattoo.
Okay.
So they took a property that is pretty obscure for comic books.
Yeah.
And I think that was a good move because they didn't have extenuating baggage. They didn't have all the problem is with, and this is the same thing with like biopics. There's a James Brown biopic.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what James Brown sounds like, what he looks like. So you go into it and you go, that's not James Brown. And then you watch these Spider-Man movies and you go, that's not Spider-Man.
Well,
so Guardians of the Galaxy, you got a clean slate.
It doesn't, because you don't have, you know, when you have Spider-Man, you have old Spider-Man TV shows, other Spider-Man movies. You have all the Hulk stuff that you have to live up to. And you don't really have that with Guardians of the Galaxy. Even Iron Man was fresh in that way, in that there was an Iron Man cartoon, but there wasn't a lot of Iron Man stuff. So Iron Man was fresh. So this is new to people.
I think it's new to people. Even as a fan, I was aware.
I've never read Guardians of the Galaxy.
I was aware of all the stuff, and I knew what they were talking about.
Okay.
I'm interested if that is going to be a barrier for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are just going to, oh, there's too much. Now, this happens in sci-fi movies. Oh, they got to go to this planet, and they got to talk to this guy, and there's too much backstory that they're going to not follow. I followed all the stuff, knew what they were talking about. It's the same sci-fi shit. There's an evil empire.
Yeah, but it seems like it's... I haven't seen it. You've seen it, but it seems like it's more comedy, too. Like, it's pushing comedy.
It is very comedy. It's really basically a kind of a caper picture. It's kind of a... Mm-hmm. Like a crime... You know, it's almost like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Okay.
Fused with a big popcorn sci-fi action movie. It is very funny. There's a lot of great, like, Glenn Close and John C. Reilly is in this. And, like, it's funny. It is funny. They got a fucking talking raccoon who shoots
and Bradley
bazookas.
Cooper plays the raccoon.
Yeah. And you know, Dave Bautista, who's from WWE. I hate to say WWE, but he actually steals the show.
Good.
He gives one of the best, like, his performance is just funny. His character is, like, super intense and doesn't get jokes, and that's kind of a joke, is that he's real literal, but he milks it. He does a great job. I thought this was a really entertaining popcorn picture. You know, if you're not a big sci-fi fan, you're going to probably go, what is this crap?
Yeah.
But I thought it was pretty entertaining. They did a good job of building the world up, creating the characters for you.
And Chris Pratt is good from Parks and Rec.
Chris Pratt's great.
Big action movie role.
I mean, the movie starts with this, like, really dramatic, emotional scene.
Yeah.
That's set on Earth that has nothing to do with anything else. Okay. But, like, it's got a kick-ass soundtrack. There's, like, The Runaways on it.
Okay.
There's, you know, New York Dolls and, like, Bowie. So it's, like, this big 70s kind of thing.
Okay.
I thought it's a fun movie. I thought it's a super fun movie. I'm gonna have to see it again.
Why is that?
Because they didn't put the stingers on it.
Oh,
because we saw it early.
Why?
Enough.
Oh, it was like not even the finished print or something. Or?
I don't know. We saw it like 2 weeks ago, so they didn't have the stingers on it.
That's weird.
Because I guess they didn't want it to leak.
Oh.
And.
I
mean, on some level, you go, okay, who's this purple guy? What is this about?
Right.
But if you just relax and roll with it, it's a fun movie.
Those stingers got to go. I think that's too much. Can't they do the stinger in the middle of the credits? Can't they do after a minute?
They started doing that.
Yeah, because it's too much to sit through all those CG
now there's like a pattern. Marvel does a mid-credit stinger where they have more story set up for next time. Really, they're wrestling promos is what they are.
Yeah, I get,
like,
what you're saying, yeah.
Coming up at Bash
next,
at the Beach.
Next time in Iron Man.
Right, right. They're totally at the...
Next time at the Avengers.
It's the last panel of a comic book where they go...
Are they...
You know,
is this tied into the universe?
Yeah, it is, although it's not real... You know, it's not...
The characters don't exist in... I mean, they're not in there.
They're in space.
Right.
They're in the space... where the Avengers are on Earth.
They're,
you know,
from,
I mean,
the Earth that the Avengers
are from.
It's
the same universe.
Okay. So they're humans from Earth.
Chris Pratt.
Except for the raccoon.
Chris Pratt is, and then he's...
And then there's other races.
Chris Pratt's a human who encounters a bunch of aliens.
But the Vin Diesel guy's from a different planet.
Yeah, Vin Diesel's from a different planet. And well, Vin Diesel's a tree.
Zoe Saldana.
He's a tree named Groot.
Okay, yeah, but he's a tree. He's a tree in real life. I don't know what the difference is. All right.
It's a fun movie.
Good. I'm going to go.
It's a fun
maybe
movie.
Maybe I'll go this weekend if I can go.
Kind of silly, a little ridiculous, but I thought it looks good and pretty entertaining.
Because I went to this theater. I went back and saw Planet of the Apes again because I wanted to see it with me, and I said, okay. I had a lot of interest in our Planet of the Apes discussion was popular, by the way.
And Shaggy 2 Dope.
I've talked to it. Was not, it was not Shaggy 2 Dope. No. It was not.
You... And Joe Franklin went to go see Rise of the Planet.
Me and Gilbert went to... No, we didn't.
Oh, I was wondering if you'd seen the Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
It's not as good without the masks. It was better with
the masks. The masks were better.
So anyway, so I went back, and they just built this theater, which is actually not far from where Corey lives, that claims to have the biggest screen in Michigan. And I saw Planet of the Apes there on that screen. And they have the Dolby Atmos surround, and it was terrific. So
yeah.
I had originally seen Planet of the Apes in 3D in a standard theater, which was very good. And even though I saw it in 2D the second time, on that big screen, it was awesome. So if they're showing Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm headed right over there to the it's the Imagine.
It looks cool.
It's called the Imagine Troy, if you're in the Detroit area. Imagine Troy. Good theater. I like it. I'm a fan.
On the pure level,
I think it was about $14 to go. Well, I think we went to a matinee, so it wasn't that much, but I think in the evening, if you go, it's about $15 to see a 3D movie in that, which is very high.
Wow.
But it was cool.
I will say Guardians of the Galaxy looks great in 3D.
Yeah. Okay.
Just for the value of if you want to see pretty colors and stuff explode on your screen.
Good. I'm in.
Looks good.
I like that. All right. Next, I'll go, and then you got one more. I saw a movie called Let's Be Cops, which comes out next week.
Yeah.
Let's Be Cops. Now, I would have called this movie... I think the original plot was Let's Be 21 Jump Street, because that's a lot of or Let's Be Pineapple Express, because it's Pineapple Express, except for their cops. It's really, you know, you've seen these cop buddy comedies. Mm-hmm. There was The Other Guys. There was the 21 and 22 Jump Street. Pineapple Express works in the same way, even though they weren't cops in that. They were, you know, guys who had to pretend that they were big drug dealers or whatever. And it's two guys from New Girl, which is weird, too, that although probably Damon Wayans Jr. was probably not on New Girl at the time when they shot this.
He came back
to be on the show. But it's Jake Johnson, who's very funny, and Jake Johnson's the best thing about this movie. So.
Okay.
And, you know, look, there's plenty of laughs in this. It's two guys who were losers, not unlike those other movies. And then, you know.
But it could have been Charlie Day... And Hannibal Burris.
It could have been Seth Rogen and
Kevin Hart.
And who's the guy from The Office? Daryl from The Office. It could have been any of those two. Pick two guys from This Is the End. It could have been them, you know. But Jake Johnson's very funny, and I like him on New Girl, and he's the best thing in this. You know, they're guys who they go to a costume party as cops, and then it's a really convoluted story for how they end up like getting a police car and actually driving around, and then they have to actually deal with some gangster. But the problem with the movie is when they're pretending they're cops, and you know, Jake Johnson's like they're high-ons, and Jake Johnson's a loser, and it's funny. You know, he hangs around with like teenagers and stuff, and you know, that's all funny. But then when it tries to become like serious cop drama. And it's the same thing as Pineapple Express. Remember when they had those big shootouts and that? And we both kind of thought that. We were like, well, that was funny for a minute, and then it turns out.
Some people love Pineapple Express.
Yeah. Well, I'd say we both sort of didn't like it for that reason.
To me, the tone shift.
And that's exactly what happens with this movie. They have a tone shift where Andy Garcia is the crime lord, and it's just sort of that whole plot doesn't work. And,
I think 22 Drum Street for that... Did that better.
I saw 21 and I thought it was good.
Yeah.
And this movie just, it feels like that. It has that exact same feel as 21 Jump Street. You know, and like I said, I like Jake Johnson, Damon Wayans, you can give or take. Who's the guy, I think it's Key. Who's the guy from Detroit?
Keegan-Michael Key
is in this. And look, through no fault of his own, it's one of the worst on-screen characters I've seen all year. He plays like a Jamaican.
Right.
Drug dealer that they capture, and the whole thing is just a bad impression. And I say I don't blame him because it was just written poorly, and he's doing his best with it. But that was really lousy.
You're telling me that reggae guys aren't funny anymore?
Yeah, it just was not funny because...
What kind of a world are we living in,
you know,
where reggae guys aren't funny?
That didn't work. So, you know, about half of the... You know, this is like, you know, rent this, watch it on HBO or something. You know, it's not hard to watch.
Yeah.
But it's not really worth your money, you know.
Wow. And what about Natasha Leggero?
Natasha Leggero is, it's okay. She's in it, and she, you know what? Her stuff is kind of funny. She's like, they have to go do surveillance on the bad guys from an apartment. And it's Natasha Leggero's apartment, and she's like this old drunken slut who's throwing herself at them. And you're kind of like, okay, that's Natasha Leggero's all right in that.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, people with no sense of humor might find this really entertaining all the way through. I found it annoying, and you know, I mean, it's I don't know, what is it, three fingers, two out of five fingers Radio 5-finger scale, maybe three. You know, if you want to be generous, but like I said, it's a rental. It's not like you should avoid it like the plague. it's not really worth running out and seeing. I'm not sure. What are the other big comedies? Usually in August, they position a big comedy. And I know that this is sort of in that position, but I thought maybe there was something else that was coming out in August. It's been a kind of a bad summer for comedies, especially.
It's been a bad year for comedies.
I mean, Neighbors came out in May or whatever and did fairly well.
22 Jump Street was a big hit.
22 Jump Street came out already.
That came out, but
is there another comedy coming out? I mean, I don't know where you look.
Oh, that Sex Tape died.
Sex Tape died, yeah. So it's not...
Sex Tape bombed completely. You know,
like, I want to see Jake Johnson in more stuff. I do. He's great. He's really funny. I like that guy.
Tammy was a flop.
Tammy, yeah. So, yeah, bad summer for you. And these are all established, you know, Jason Segel and Melissa McCarthy. These are all people who've had comedy hits and...
Boy, it's been a rough...
But Neighbors was a hit and 22 Jump Street was a hit, so I guess that's... And who knows? I don't know that Let's Be Cops is going to be. I don't think they spent any money on this, so I think the threshold's pretty low. So it could be. It could make a ton of money just because they didn't spend much on it. But
It's Let's Be Cops. It's not. Not been a good year at the box office in general.
No, in general. So, and
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles about to ruin everything.
Oh my fucking god! Can I just say this? And I'll put this. I'll do this officially, but. If you're my Facebook friend, before you post about how you're about to see Ninja Turtles or something, delete me. Just go ahead and unfriend me, and then write whatever you want about Ninja Turtles. I don't need to see that shit.
You know, I said this the other day, and I meant this.
Yeah.
The people who posted about how they went to the Jimmy Buffett concert.
Right, it's like an intelligence test. Like
you've shown me your ass. Did you see that?
I saw.
Did you have people on your feed?
I had a couple people, you know. But
Jimmy
Buffett
played in. Okay, I didn't have many.
It doesn't matter. Here's one thing: if you're a girl, we know you have no taste in music already, so they're exempt, right? Is that safe to say?
No. You gotta have some taste.
Well, between the Jimmy Buffett concert,
girls will watch. Okay,
the Nick Cave concert, the Jack White concert. The Soundgarden, Nine Inch Nails. I'm about concerted out with these shows all week.
I will give people a pass on Nine Inch Nails.
Right.
That's okay. It's a nostalgia thing.
I saw that in 1990.
I saw both those bands
in their heyday.
23 years ago.
Exactly, yeah.
And I didn't need to see either one again.
Yeah.
That's fine, though. I'll give you a pass. Nine Inch Nails, I can have some respect.
Sure.
Soundgarden, even whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a pass on Jack White.
Okay.
You and I have seen Jack White.
We saw him in his
many
heyday.
Times. Right? Yes.
Right, yeah.
Okay, I don't want to be that fucking Detroit. Right. I saw Jack White when he was nobody, but I saw Jack White.
I saw them when the White Stripes were popular, and I saw all of their big Detroit concerts for like 3 years.
You've got an NME article
I wrote.
That's stuck on this bulletin board from 12 years ago. ten years ago?
It was 2002. Yeah, it was 2002.
Hold on, let me do the pussy math. That's correct.
2002.
What
is the pussy math? Who you were fucking in 2002?
Who you were fucking.
Oh, I was fucking.
No, who I was fucking.
Oh, okay.
I don't do your pussy math.
I wrote an article about the Strokes and the White Stripes did a concert. I didn't even write
the problem with...
I wasn't credited on the byline, but NME ran my piece. They quoted
me. The problem with the pussy math for both of us is there's probably a lot of zeros. But, I mean...
What decade was it? Did I get laid in the 90s?
I've also been with my wife for a long time.
Sure, but that was 12 years ago.
That's, by the way, ruining the pussy math.
Yeah, the pussy math
used to be great. I go...
Right.
1999, I was with her.
You
know what I mean?
You will get to a point where you can't remember being with anyone else.
That's coming.
It's coming.
The
it's
darkness coming. Is creeping in, Joel.
I hear
you. I'm getting to the end of that tunnel. No, it's...
Okay. So I saw the White Stripes in their heyday. Okay, go ahead. And who else are we talking about? Jimmy Buffett.
I got to go back to like 2006 or something for the pussy math to work
get
for
to
me.
Jimmy. Get to
All
Jimmy
right. Buffett. Somebody... Okay, I'm just saying. If you posted about Jimmy Buffett on my Facebook feed... And there was only five or so that or whatever.
Yeah.
It's still, good night. You're out. Get the hook.
Because even I went to those Springsteen shows. And for two of them, I was as close to Springsteen as I am to you right now for 3 hours, okay? I didn't put up one picture. No. I didn't put up one video because I know people don't give a shit. And I've got a phone full of shit, you know what I mean? And it's like...
The Springsteen thing, by the way, is its own pocket universe where other Springsteen fans
care. We'll think that's amazing. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
But you know what? I'm aware some of my interests don't cross over.
I'm sparing the universe in general those things.
Okay, I read these books about World War II spies, right? Okay. And they're really, I enjoy them. All this guy, Ben McIntyre, writes great books.
Okay.
But I'm not sitting there going, you gotta let me say what the OSS was doing. I understand that there's things you're into that some people aren't going to care about.
Yes.
I've also made it my whole life to be, everybody knows I'm a comic book nerd and all this stuff.
Right.
But I don't got to sit there.
But I discuss and I post pictures of the Springsteen shows on Springsteen message boards, thereby only having I have those discussions and I have those social interactions.
Well, you know what?
But I have them with like-minded people rather than my aunties on Facebook.
But see, editing,
who don't give a shit.
Editing is something that most people are
at doing. I'm a good Facebooker.
People, one, there's vague booking.
Yeah.
Where people
well,
go,
yeah, that's true.
You can only cut someone so many times right. before the blood runs dry. And you just go, oh, well, okay, so you had a shitty day at work.
Yeah, or, so, yeah,
or somebody fucked like, you over. Know. But they vague book about, you won't get away with it.
Yeah.
Or they go,
when is that light of the tunnel? When am I finally going to see the light at the end of the tunnel?
Or people go into really elaborate, explicit things about their boss.
Yeah,
and
right.
And how their boss is an asshole and they did something.
You ever see people? I've seen these people who go, like, this is the dullest meeting ever. I think I'm about to die.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't the people you work with read that shit? Aren't they sitting
right next
to you?
No, they're like, they can't see my Twitter.
Oh,
I'm
my
like,
God.
They can see your Twitter. By the way, this is hurting people. People are losing
gigs. Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely.
Over tweets.
Absolutely.
Gilbert obviously lost big money over that.
Yeah, over his thing, yeah.
His social media is killing people.
Aye, aye, aye.
Don't
listen, I'm just saying, if you're going to see Ninja Turtles, I don't need to know. I don't want to lower my opinion of you by hearing that you went to Ninja Turtles. Yeah. The fact that I'm your Facebook friend and I'm reading your update means that I have some level of respect for you, or else I wouldn't be reading your things.
Granted,
don't tell me you see that.
You've been posting every time you watch Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
And I bet there's somebody.
I'm sure.
No, it's not a bad thing
for
me.
I had a string of Planet of the Apes.
We did a whole Planet of the Apes show.
We did a Planet of the Apes show, which people
liked. It's not
a
negative for me.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's somebody out there going, the fuck's with this plan?
Right. Well, one of them is my cousin who busts my chops every time I put one up. But, you know, Planet of the Apes is one of the great sci-fi works of our lifetimes. And I don't make any apologies for that.
I had my film group.
Yeah.
Which is like a lot of older couples that are doctors and therapists and stuff. They went and saw, I sent them to Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
They loved it.
Oh, good.
And then they had to ask me all kinds of questions about the other ape movies. Dawn, sorry.
Yeah, they saw Dawn, yes.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And they loved it. But it's good.
Yeah, it's good. Rise is great, too.
And
Rise.
I told them legitimately that the 1968 Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, the original, is a legitimate, like any list I do.
It's an all-time great
of the top 100 movies, it would be on there.
And within its genre, it's top five.
Yeah, it's a
top five sci-fi movie on top of being
movie.
A top 200 all-time movie.
Sure, it's a great movie.
All right, review Boyhood and let's go home.
Boyhood is the new movie by Richard Linklater, who's done a lot of really talky movies. Mm-hmm. The Before Sunrise and you know all those.
After
the,
Sunrise. Slacker.
I can't get them all right.
Yeah.
There's the three Sunset movies.
Yeah.
Sunrise, Sunset. Slacker, Waking Life. You know, a lot of Days
Confused,
Confused is his big, famous one. This movie, he shot over a period of 12 years.
Yeah.
And he followed this kid named Ellers Coltrane from the age of 7 to 19. Now, it's a complete narrative. It's not like Michael Apted did the
7 up and 14
up and
yeah.
all that stuff. Those are like documentaries.
Yeah.
This is just he told a story about this kid growing up. And
same actors for 12 years.
Same actors for 12 years, and it's not like a real... Right. It's really just...
Because you could make that movie where you'd get a little kid and then an adult, and you'd have somebody who played the little kid and somebody played the adult.
No, they shot a little bit each...
And the adults, you would just do makeup to make them look older.
They shot a little bit each year for 12 years.
That's crazy.
And, like, every summer, they'd come and shoot this.
Who are the grown-up actors?
Ethan Hawke and Patricia Arquette.
Okay, so there you go.
So those are those two. And then there's other there's other actors.
You mean, I can see a movie where Patricia Arquette ages 12 years.
Right. Well, it's wild. It's really weird. Because
where do I buy my ticket?
No, it's a really weird experience, though, because, like, she is... you see younger.
Yeah, yeah, Patricia exactly. Arquette, yeah, yeah.
And then by the end of the movie, you're like, holy
ooh,
shit.
Yeah.
And Ethan Hawke, you see get older. Well,
you
Ethan Hawke.
You go, did I take a pee when the bus hit Patricia Arquette in the face?
Well, I think
I feel like Gilbert now. It's like laughing.
But like Ethan Hawke started the movie and he was 31 yeah, yeah. and finished it when he was 42 yeah. or 44.
Now I want to see this movie.
It's actually really a cool movie because you get like as soon as you're kind of acclimated to the kid mm-hmm. and you're interested in his story, and they do a thing where like the new stepfather cuts his hair off mm-hmm. and he's all pissed off because he's like 8 and yeah. he didn't want to get his hair cut and he goes to school with the buzz cut. Then they cut and he's like 10 and you're like, what happened to the yeah. kid with the buzz cut?
Wow.
But they do have a narrative. It's not the tightest, yeah. like, but it's just basically like what your life is like growing huh. up, all these little trials through school, the different.
It feels like that. It sounds like that Terrence Malick movie. What was the one with Brad Pitt? That I liked. I know a lot.
The Tree of Life.
The Tree of Life, which I know not everyone likes.
You know, it does have some similarities. I like Tree of Life. It's obviously more. Yeah. It's not as esoteric as that.
Right,
the
yeah.
Tree of Life is really like.
Yeah.
But
a dinosaur on the beach, and
I think Boyhood is. If I have one knock on it, it's a little long.
Yeah.
It's over 2 hours.
Yeah.
So it might have gotten a little bit of a trim.
Okay.
Ethan Hawke's really good in it.
Yeah.
And. I don't know how they managed to keep those characters. Like, the parents are obviously the whole way through the same people and the yeah. same identities. But the kids, to follow them, and he put his daughter in it, which was smart.
Yeah.
Because
he's got control of where she's, yeah.
He knows she's going to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
Or he can get her, you know, he can get her.
But does he sign the kid for, like, a 12-year contract? I mean, how does that, like...
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
all the
weird,
logistics of
yeah,
this
the
movie
logistics
are fascinating.
Are weird, yeah.
But the movie itself...
You wouldn't even think, like, the equipment they shot the movie on 12 years ago could be completely different by the time you get to...
The technology...
Yeah,
this is like a graveyard for, like, old Game Boys.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And when he starts, the kid's, like, 7, and he's yeah. on one of those big turquoise yeah. blue IMAX, the, like... big plastic ones that were all one unit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and you go, oh, I forgot about those.
Yeah.
You see all this technology.
Old computers. Yeah, 12 years ago, if you think about what we were using for our phones mm-hmm. and our computers and right. our like, what did our televisions look like 12 years ago? Completely
now,
fucking
I met you
yeah.
like 12 years ago.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And so it doesn't seem like that long ago in one respect
yeah,
until you see it on the screen.
Yeah, yeah,
you see,
yeah.
And that's what's cool about this movie.
Yeah.
You see time... on screen uh-huh. in a 2-hour block.
Well, there was I was putting up photos of, you know, there was this Club Bart retrospective thing on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I was putting up, you know, and there's pictures of comics on their phones and stuff. And I'm like, look at that fucking phone. Like you know, and these are from, you know, 2002 right. or something, you know. And it's like, oh, shit, that is completely, you know. And people's haircuts look different and, you know. It's,
you know, it is weird because I don't think there's been a more gradual change in the last decade or so.
Like, yeah.
If you look at a picture from 1955 and 1965, it's going to look wildly
completely
different.
Yeah. And 75 and 65 and 85 and 75 and 95 and 85.
But the shit seems to have slowed
down.
It slowed
down around 2000.
90s,
yeah. Yeah.
You know?
It's sort of. And I think that's because I think trends became things in some ways became more divergent, but also people move slower. People will. Not as many people adopted the same trends all at the same time as people used to.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, people still, you know, things change, but they change more slowly. And not everybody goes down the same road at once. You know what I mean? Like, you always meet people who are like, I'm getting my first iPhone. You ever meet those people? You're meeting people who are like,
yeah.
you know, they just got an iPhone for the first time.
And the first thing they post when they get their iPhone yeah. is, I'm going to the Jimmy Buffett concert.
Well, whatever. But you know what I mean? Like, Tenny's got one of an early Android phone now for the first time, and it's like, okay, you know.
All right, but this is the shtick that John
yeah.
does.
Well, yeah, John. Yeah.
John wants
John's
to.
John's got his own
John,
shtick.
Okay, if you go to John's house.
Yes.
He's got all these
That's
giant,
a time capsule.
yeah. He's got all these giant, like, console radios yeah. from the, like, 50s,
yeah.
40s, and stuff like that. And you're like, mm-hmm. wow, that's great, John. I mean,
yeah.
John's a man out of time. He's
he
like,
is, he is.
Yet he's on the internet all the time.
He is on the internet.
John also likes to tell himself he can't have things. No, it really, it's like a fuel for him.
It is.
He's like, I will deny myself
Yeah.
I'm not going to have cable because I would just watch cable all day.
It would be destructive.
John is motivates himself by getting out of the house and doing whatever he's got
to
do.
He goes right to the bar.
Yeah, well, he motivates himself to go get some vodka and tonic.
All right.
Anyway.
Let's say, actually, before we go, you know, did I tease?
But do go see Boyhood if it's in your town.
Did I tease? Yeah, Boyhood. I mean, is that a limited run?
It's going to be a limited release, but seek it out. It's a really, even if, you know what, just as a filmmaking exercise, it's fascinating.
Yeah, good. I'm going to go. Okay. Now, I don't know if I teased this at the beginning. I told you before in the show that I had a big announcement, and I'm going to save it for the end of the show. And it's not a big announcement about me personally, necessarily.
You're buying a Wii U.
It's about this show and that, you know, I've had since it became Joel Radio some 4 years ago, I believe. We stopped being, I don't know, what is the breakdown of how long this was Corey and Joel Radio and how long it was Joel Radio? Anyway, I've had the same theme song since the beginning of time, since the beginning of Joel Radio, and I'm retiring it. This is the last time you'll hear the outro music. And I want to play for you the new theme.
All right. Corey and Joel had rotating music.
We would play an album, and we'd play three songs from the album, and we'd take a break, and you'd hear a song in the middle. But I just want to say, I'm going to give you a debut. You'll hear this officially the next time. But here is the new theme to Joel Radio. There you go. It's the new theme. I'm a new the new theme to Joel Radio. The Thick of the Night theme. I'm adopting this for the show.
What a callback. You sound
I completely got you with that. Meanwhile, you would love to hear that every week, right? You want to hear that again right now. Look at you. I'm a new
routine. Everyone needs a dream to. Can we find the actual Alan
Ford? I wonder if I can just pull it up on YouTube real quick. Let me see on my phone.
See if you can pull up in the Thick of the Night theme.
The actual Thick of the Night theme as not sung by, it's sung by Alan.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can get Thick. I mean, you.
Oh, my God. In the thing of the night. All
right, here's Thick of the
Night. I've got it on YouTube.
All right, I got one. I think I got it here, too.
That was good. You got me on that
one. I got you on that one. This is I believe this is from a record, not from the show. I think he made a record of it.
And then he turned that into the thing.
Yeah, let's see. This is Alan Thicke, Thick of the Night from 1984 on Atlantic Records. Now what I need to do is take this bed and put the Gilbert vocal on top. Well, this definitely sounds like 84, doesn't it?
Wow.
This is a single. This is like 3 minutes, so I don't know when the vocal comes in. But... I get it. me.
Gilbert was
pretty accurate.
He did
a good job.
Wow.
He actually did a good, you know, it's recognizable. You want to go back to Gilbert? Oh, you want the comparison of the Gilbert? Let me... thanks.
Well, good. See, the Alan Thicke question paid off.
It never gets old. All right, let's just quickly, before we go here, I got to thank Gilbert Gottfried once again for the interview and the time hanging out. It was good. I hope you guys enjoyed the interview and everything. And listen to Gilbert, the awesome
Amazing Colossal
podcast. I'll get the name right one of these days with Gilbert. So thanks to Gilbert.
He could have made it easier.
Could have. By the way, I had about 3 hours sleep the whole week at the gathering, so I was I was not functioning on all cylinders when I interviewed Gilbert, but it still turned out good, so I hope you guys enjoyed that. What else can I tell you? What else do we have to plug? Anything? What else is going on?
No, plugs are good.
Plugs are good. We're good.
At Corey Hall Comics on Twitter.
At Joel Radio Show on Twitter. And you can follow Joel Radio on Facebook. Like us on iTunes. Give us a review. You can subscribe up there. Go to joelradio.net. If I can find the whole Gilbert show from the gathering, I'm going to look. If somebody's posted the whole thing, I'll put it up there. Or at least a clip. You can see me introducing Gilbert. I know I saw a clip of that. And that'll be up on joelradio.net. So we'll catch you next time here, guys. In the thick of the night.
Mommy, don't sleep the night time. So that show was the worst.
Oh, God, I know.
Did you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember Thick of the Night.
Just hideous.
All right. Good night, everybody. Good night, Gilbert.